Welcome to the Aspen Chapel podcast with me, Nicholas Feasey.
I'm not very good at hearing, so it's probably still going, but I'm going to start anyway because I can't hear it anymore. So listen, over the last month, we've been doing this series on friendship. Friendship being the deepest level of support and encouragement to an end that's mutually enriching, the deepest level of support and encouragement to an end that's mutually enriching. And in this series, we're looking at whether or not we've got true friendship with various elements of our lives. Do we have friendship with the planet? Do we have friendship with each other? Do we have friendship with our bodies? You know, do we support and have a deepest level of encouragement with our bodies, with our senses, with death, and so on? And I think the whole area of friendship is a huge topic. And in that first week, I asked the question, you know, are we friends? And we looked at, you know, friendship between people and really the possibility of moving beyond friendship that has a transactional nature. You know, I scratch your back and you scratch mine. Moving from that, transactional nature to being soul friends, that's based on love, the idea of giving with no expectation of return. Then we looked at the idea that before you can have that deep anamkara, that deep soul friendship from John O'Donohue's book, with anything, we have to make friends with our souls. We have to make friends with God, with the ground of all being. And rather than having that divine nature as an acquaintance held at arm's length by our minds, we have to open ourselves to that ground of being and allow ourselves to be suffused by it. And then we went on to look at friendship with the circumstances that continually come into our lives, one after the other. And we show that friendship with the circumstance of our lives is really dependent on friendship with our minds. We have to create a friendship with our minds. And it's through being able to create peace within our minds that we can have peace with the world, because as the circumstances come to us, it's our minds that respond. So if we can have peace with our minds, then we can respond to the world in peace. And last week we looked at friendship with impermanence, with the fact that things change all the time, and that this requires us to find and become, as T.S. Eliot mentioned it, that still point in a turning world. We have to become that still point, to find that still point within us where we could watch all the changes that are going on in the world. And this week, I want to really talk about friendship with diversity. It's Pride Month. We've, you know, got the Pride banner up as well. And I think diversity is an important subject, I think. The Latin root of diversity is diversus, which means various. Thus, human diversity refers to the variety of differences that exist among humans, that comprises of humanity. Do you know, most of us feel more comfortable when we're with people who are the same of us. We band together in groups that think like us and that behave like us. You just have to look around the room. And there's a great similarity in the way that we look, in the way that we behave. But it's through diversity that we learn. If you look at evolution, it requires difference in order for species to change. There has to be a difference in order for the species to change. It's through a perceived difference that species move forward. It is then that we diversify. It's then we move in different directions, and it's then that we explore new territory. If everything's always the same, there's actually no movement forward. But we tend to prefer the same because we feel more comfortable with that which is familiar. Familiar from the Latin word familiaris, which actually means, funnily enough, household servants. And that's where it came to mean family, but actually it means household servants. We serve each other in keeping things as we want them to be. John O'Donohue, in his book Annam Cara, describes familiarity as a form of human alienation, where we're no longer surprised, we're no longer challenged, and we're no longer moved. It's a form of dogging along, as we say in England, where really nothing is required of us. But it's through diversity, I think, that creativity takes place. But we often reject that which is different from us, and then we give ourselves reasons for that rejection. We judge those who are different from us as often being wrong, or at fault, or less than, or even being the cause of the woes that we have. The refugee is taking our homes and our jobs. Those who experience sexuality different from ourselves are unnatural. Or those of a different skin colour have negative attributes that we like to label them with. And those with different politics, well, they're just wrong. We so easily fall into familiaris with people who see, we fall into familiaris with people who see like us, who think like us. And if we're not careful, you know, we do that completely unconsciously. We talk of gravitating towards certain people as if there was a gravity-like force that's making us come together. Whereas actually our minds are gravitating, in fact, I think, us away from others that are more difficult. There's where the force is. We're thinking, well, no thanks. It's actually simple, you know, when you come down to it. It's about do not judge. As Jesus said, do not be judged, lest you be judged. But, you know, we do it all the time. Now, I know this is pretty obvious, but if we're going to make friendship with the diversity that's around us, if we're going to create the deepest level and support and encouragement to an end that's mutually enriching with diversity, we have to do more than just be aware of our diversity. We have to seek out diversity and make friends with it. We have to see that by making friends with that, which is different from us, by making friends with that which is different from us, our lives become more creative and richer. Now, you may think that's difficult in the valley. What with being such a homogeneous community? But that's just because we literally choose not to participate with equal numbers of people who are also in the valley, who are very different from us. And if you drive up from Aspen, from Down Valley to Aspen at 6 o'clock in the morning, you'll see people roaring up the motorway who arrive in Aspen at 6 o'clock in the morning and then drive back again to Rifle at 7 o'clock at night. And we never see them. You know, they're working in hotels, they're working all in the roads. You know, we never get to actually talk to them. With those who are different, with those who dress differently, who behave differently, subtly, we do our gravitational best to steer away rather than steer towards. And it's really about how we treat others. How should we look after others? The guru was asked. How should we look after others? He replied, there are no others. And unless we change from looking at it in terms of us and them, and begin to see us as all being of a one, then we will continue to be separate. In the chapel here, we come from a place that affirms a shared consciousness, a shared ground of being that is at the root of all of us. This is Nicholas expressed as that ground of being expressing itself as Nicholas. There is Bruce with that ground of being expressing itself as Bruce. We're all different manifestations of the same ground of being. And the judgment we should be making is judging how we treat some people differently to others. How we treat people we know who have money differently from people who don't have money. How we treat people of different politics to our own, different religions, different sexual orientations. With religion, it's always about how my religion is better than yours. When really we should be asking of those different religions, what can I learn from your religion that will make mine better? That's the question we should be asking. That's the real question in all circumstances. You're different from me. What can I learn from you, from the struggles you have that I don't have? What can I share of my own struggles? In this, you know, life is a process of osmosis. We all have things inside us we can share with those around us, and that's how the world improves. What can I learn from you, and how can I help? But we don't ask those questions really for fear of being taken advantage of, or that too much is demanded of us, or that it will become uncomfortable. And, you know, it's easy to look at the diversity in nature, at the trees and plants and animals and fish, and, you know, they seem to live together, and yet humanity is at war with itself. And the reason for this is that we individual human beings are at war with ourselves. Our minds war against our hearts, our desires against our concepts of morality. You know, those Episcopal, Anglican, those wonderful words in the General Confession, that if you're Episcopal, you will know this, but they really sum up this battle within us. You know, we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done, and there is no health in us. That is the battle going on for humanity all the time. It's interesting that there is no health in us. The word sanity comes from sanus, which means health. And that healthiness as individuals is that peace within us. That is what we cultivate. That's what we need to cultivate within us. And in cultivating that peace which is deep within us, then we can start to cultivate peace that's around us. We think that we've erred. We think that we're doing wrong. We think we should do more. We think we are unhealthy. We are fundamentally unpeaceful in our hearts. And we need to find someone to blame for that. We need to blame the outsider. Being at war with ourselves, we find peace by going to war with those who are different from us. And therefore, we find a righteous place, which is actually no real peace at all. It's just a righteous place for the mind. So we have first to find peace within ourselves, and from that peace, we have to have the ability to ask those two key questions. What can I learn from you? And how can I help? It is the peace within that gives us the ability to be generous without. And it's because we're so diverse within, so conflicted, that we can't bear the pain of diversity without. That rage that you see people attack those who they blame for their own pain is just a reaction to the pain that they think by blaming others will bring them peace. But it never does. You know, I saw this recently on the interwebs, that there's not a single white person in the entire Bible. They're all people of colour of one form or another. And yet we portray Charlton Heston, you know, as Moses, and Jim Caviezel as Jesus. In reality, Jesus most likely had brown eyes, dark brown skin, to black hair, you know. The prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, describes Moses as resembling the people of Zut or Shanua, which were the darkest skinned tribes of Arabia. For us to have deep friendship with diversity, we have to recognize that our difference is actually a learning space between us. You know, you're different from me. What can I learn from you about the way that you've lived your life so that I can live my life more skillfully? And how can I help? But the world doesn't think in these terms. It's more likely to want to keep difference at bay, to reject it, to blame it, to make it a reason for separation. That's not what our civilization is based on. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. They are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. That is among these life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's what our civilization is based upon. Gandhi was asked once what he thought of Western civilization. And he said he thought it would be a good idea. Thanks for listening. If you feel moved to make a donation to the chapel, please go to aspenchapel.org. Thank you. And if you'd like to receive these podcasts regularly, subscribe to the Aspen Chapel through Apple, Google Play, YouTube, or any other outlet.